we were going to look through the whole book of Jeremiah tonight. Someone texted me, Brother Tommy Parker down in Spring Lake. He and Johnny often listen, join in with us, and they have their midweek service on Thursday night. You know, I urge you to join with them on Thursday. Mighty good preacher down there. But Tommy, he asked where we're going to be. I said, we're going to look at the whole book of Jeremiah. He said, that's a lot of looking. So that made me think, it is. You know, we did that Sunday morning with Isaiah, 66 chapters. But you're fresh and on the Sunday morning, and this is Wednesday night, and I'm aware that you're tired and weary. And so we're just going to make it about halfway. This whole book, if you've read it, and I know you have, most of you, is mostly sin and misery and rebellion and idolatry and destruction and doom and death. The gospel is hard to find in Jeremiah. It's there for God's people. But there's so much misery. There's so much woe. There's a little gospel here and there. You understand now what I'm saying? The whole book is good news for God's people in the midst of a sinful world. But it's hard to find. We're gonna find it. We're going to search for him and find it. Jeremiah was hated. If you read this, he was imprisoned. Couple of times one time he was put down in a pit. They lowered him down in the sad. Just break your heart. This is a man who wept over those people. He's constantly weeping over those people. Jeremiah's a type of Christ. He's a clear type of Christ. He's a man, our Lord said in chapter 1, he said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. That's Christ, and ordains you a prophet to the people. That's Christ. That prophet who was with the Father from the beginning, formed in the belly. Now, Jeremiah was hated. He was imprisoned. He was despised. He was rejected, though he told people the truth. The whole book, Jeremiah is preaching and praying and crying and weeping and warning the people. Our Lord Jesus Christ wept. Why in the world would he weep over such sorry people? He did, didn't he? He did. Don't you love the story of Joseph? Especially when his brethren came to him. After all they did for him, when they came to him and they were broken, they were repentant, he wept over them. He wept. He said, get everybody out of here. And he made himself known, his brethren. And they all wept. But Jeremiah was not alone, actually. You know, there were six other prophets alive at the time of Jeremiah. There was Daniel, Ezekiel, Habakkuk, Nahum, Zephaniah, and Obadiah. They all lived. But they were few and far between. They weren't together. They were spread out. And that's typical, isn't it? That's now. Like Amos 8:11, you run to and fro looking for the word. And you have to go far places to find it. You have to go down Spring Lake to find it. You have to go to Fairmont to find it. You have to go to Kingsport to find it. You have to go to Georgia. You have to go to North Carolina. It's there. God hadn't left himself without a witness, thankfully. You know, Isaiah, go to 2 Chronicles. Let's go over there. 2 Chronicles. I promise you, I'm not going to weary you. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, the very last verses in 2 Chronicles. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, began with a sinful world, and it ended with the end of the world. Right? You read it with me? Jeremiah is the same, except Jeremiah begins with how bad the world is that he lived in, the nation he lived in. But in the end, a man called Nebuchadnezzar, an evil king, just like Jeremiah said would happen, just like the Lord said, he came and he destroyed
Jerusalem and took everybody captive. And Nebuchadnezzar represents the God of this world. Now men are held captive by him. But look at 2 Chronicles 36, verse 19. This is how Jeremiah ends. They burnt the house of God, break down the wall of Jerusalem, burnt the palaces with fire, destroyed all the goodly vessels. Them that escaped from the sword, carried away to Babylon. That's us. We're in Babylon. They were servants to him until Christ took us. And verse 21, this was to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. See that? Until as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath till 70 years. Okay? And then you remember the Lord gave the word to Cyrus, to Ezra, Nehemiah. What a book. That just sent chills when I was trying to think of that. So Jeremiah, now go to Jeremiah with me. As said, I want to comfort you tonight. I want to comfort you, but let's read a few scriptures. There's no real comfort unless there's misery. You know that? The gospel's not good news unless you've heard the bad news. It's good news from a foreign land. That's what it is. We live in captivity. We live in Babylon. No. We're captives in this world and in this flesh. You know, we still feel like we're held captive. We want out. We're not of this world. We're like Lot in Sodom. We're standing, we're watching at his gates and doors saying, Lord, come get us. Aren't we? So let's read some scriptures leading up to chapter 29. That this is talking about a people that changed gods. Chapter 2. Look at chapter 2. Israel professed to be believers in the God of the Bible. Now, if this is not relevant to our day, nothing is. Chapter 2, verse 11. Have the nation changed their gods, which are not gods? Go ask people everywhere about their God. They'll tell you about the God they believe in. He's not God at all. He can't do anything unless man lets him. That means he can't. He's not God. The God of the Bible is God. What does that mean? He made everything. He owns everything. He rules everything. He does everything. But nothing and no one can do anything except God says so. Has this nation changed their God? Yes. There's no God. Why? False prophets. And if you read Jeremiah all the way through, just constantly false prophets everywhere. I told you there were seven. Isn't that interesting? Seven living true prophets at this time. That's it. When Elijah stood on Mount Carmel, there were 450 at that time altogether. 850 false prophets and one true. And the world says that's not possible. It sure is. It's always been that way. Verse 12, be astonished at this. Be afraid. Verse 13, my people, those that say they are, have committed two evils. They've forsaken the fountain of living water and hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns. So this is a nation, a world that's changed gods. So that sounds like Romans 1. All of Jeremiah sounds like Romans 1 all the way through 9. We're going to read about the potter in chapter 18 of Jeremiah and the clay. That's Romans 9. Romans 1, this sounds like Romans 1 and 2. But our Lord's merciful. He says, repent. Return. Why will you die? We're going to look at Ezekiel. Why will you die? Chapter 3. Look at chapter 3. Our Lord's so gracious. He told Jeremiah, verse 12, go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. I'm merciful, saith the Lord. I will not keep anger forever. You mean God is angry? He sure is. Don't you see it? The wrath of the Lord, Romans 1, is revealed from heaven every day against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Every day. It's clear. It's clear for God's people to see it. Like Israel in Egypt. It's clear in it. This is the hand of God. The world said, it's just natural causes. In verse 13, chapter 3, he says, acknowledge thine iniquity and thy transgressions against the Lord, thy God. Verse 14, turn. Isn't God good? Let the unrighteous man forsake his way. He said in Isaiah, I will pardon, abundantly pardon. Our God's so good. What's the problem? We're so bad.
Amen.
What we're going to see here is the depravity of man is real. It's not just a doctrine. It's just real. That's the world we live in. Chapter 5. Look at chapter 5. The truth seems hard to find. It was hard to find in Jeremiah's day. Truth. You know they did. You read it for yourself. It said, Jeremiah, you're not the only one. Who do you think you are, Jeremiah? He didn't think he was anybody. Just a voice. Just tell him what God says. That's all Jeremiah did. If you'll notice, I notice it, that the false prophets would start saying something, and they say, the Lord said this. But when Jeremiah spoke, it said the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. It begins with the word of the Lord to Jeremiah. But when false prophets spoke, it says they started speaking and said, the Lord told me that. See, the word of the Lord comes first. Yeah. Jeremiah didn't say anything except what God told him to say. But the truth is hard to find. Chapter 5, verse 1. Run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now, know, and seek in the broad place. If you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I'll pardon it, that person. Verse 3. Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Didn't our Lord say, the time has come when they that worship Father, worship Him in spirit and truth, for the Lord seeketh such to worship Him. And He's the one that said, when He comes, will He find? Will He find anybody on earth? Verse 4, surely these are poor, they're foolish. They know not the way of the Lord, the judgment of God. Truth's hard to find back in Jeremiah's day. Chapter 5, look at this. This is a great chapter. Verse 20, foolish, blind people. Oh, foolish people. Verse 21, oh, foolish people without understanding, which have eyes they see not, ears they hear not. Don't you fear me? I've always liked this verse. This shows the sovereignty of God by sand. How God keeps His wrath back by sand. Verse 22, will you not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea? Do you know how powerful the sea is? What holds it back? Sand? Have you looked at those mansions on the water, $1 million mansions everybody's clamoring to buy? That's their third and fourth house on the sea. Are not those houses built on the sand? And our Lord is the one that every day, day in, day out, keeps that ocean from hitherto shall you come. No problem. Every day, day in, day out. Every now and then says, okay. Don't you fear me? Nope. Verse 23. It's a rebellious, revolting people. They're revolted. Nobody says, verse 24, let's fear the Lord that giveth rain. What about the Lord that giveth rain? We read that in chapter 14. Nope. Nothing man can do can bring rain. Who sends rain? You'd think, Brother Mike, you'd think the whole Midwest and West would be crying unto God, send rain. No, they're cursing it. It's no worse than it was then, but it's more widespread. So that makes it worse. As in the days of Noah, the whole earth had corrupted his way. That's when the Lord destroyed the world, when the whole earth had corrupted his way and was full of violence and nobody gave God a thought. Didn't care. God said, okay. Well, that's now. That's now. Well, look at us. A few little people in an ark. The weeping prophet, chapter 9. There's Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. Verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters, my eyes a fountain of tears. I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. And oh, that the Lord would give us a greater burden and not be at ease in Zion. We're very comfortable, aren't we? Too comfortable. Let our laughter be turned to mourning. We ought to weep. We ought to be weeping. The evil customs, you know some of these verses, chapter 13. The evil customs in chapter 10, and the people who are accustomed to evil. Jeremiah 13, verse 15. Hear and give ear, ye be not proud. The Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord, for he caused darkness. Look at verse 22. If you say in your heart, why are these things coming upon us? For the greatness of thine iniquity. Verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. It's so true, isn't it? Of mankind. Oh, then there's curses and blessings. Chapter 17. Look at this. Chapter 17. We're going to get to 29 and we're going to stay there. And you're going to rejoice. We've got to put the diamond of God's gospel, the pearl of great price, against a very black backdrop, you see, to appreciate what the Lord has done for us. Verse 5 of Jeremiah 17. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. And that's our generation, and more than any other, that this generation thinks we're going to find something to get us out of any trouble we get into. Any sickness, any disease, any drought, any whatever it is. Man is so smart and so clever. We're going to pull ourselves out of this. They trust in man. That's a curse. Verse 17. Oh, but blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Is that you? Is that you? Really? Is it you? I don't trust anybody anywhere today except my brethren. But honestly, I can't. Everything I hear and whoever I listen to out there, I don't trust anything anyone says about anything. Do you? I don't. All men are liars. Not God's people. Jeremiah wouldn't lie. He's telling the truth. And he's telling them, don't trust man. Trust the Lord. That's safe ground. That's comfort. You hear me? You have nothing but misery and discomfort and worry and anxiety if you trust any person. Verse 9, the heart is deceitful of all that. You know these verses. These are what we call classic verses, aren't they? Well, this is real. The heart is deceitful. And Paul wrote in the last days, evil men and seducers are waxed worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And the God of this world is, the Lord's sent him out there. The Lord has sent him, Satan out here, Revelation 12. All right, chapter 18. Look at this. Here's the potter. The word came to Jeremiah, verse 1 from the Lord. See that? See how it's always come, starts that way. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Say, arise, go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear my words. And I went down to the potter's house and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. It's his work. The vessel he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make it. Shall not the pot, shall the thing form, say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me that? Hath not the potter power over the clay to make one vessel of honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and his mercy? That's the God of the Bible. He's the potter over the clay. You believe that? You believe God's made everything. You believe God controls everything. You believe God does all everything. You believe you're absolutely 100% in His hands. Do you believe the King's heart's in the hands of the Lord? Aren't you glad? Does that make you happy? It makes the world mad. It makes us exceedingly glad. We know this. We love this. Romans 9. The world wishes it wasn't in the Bible. That's the chapter that saved us all. Show us who God is, what man is. Well, the first 9 chapters. Potter and the clay. As said, the depravity of man is real. It's not just a doctrine, it's a reality. And we experience it, don't we? We see it around us, we see it in us. The holiness of God is true. We see it clearly. We see His hand. We see His judgment. We see His anger. We see His wrath. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We feel it. We feel His displeasure. Yes, you do, don't you, child of God? He's felt His rod. And sometimes you know why. And the salvation of the Lord is true, isn't it? If He doesn't save us, we won't be saved. If God doesn't save people, they're not going to be saved. Because they're not seeking God. They're not calling on God. They don't even believe in God. But God. It's rich in mercy. Is there no hope? Chapter 18. Is there no hope? Verse 11. Chapter 18. Go speak to the men of Israel. Verse 12. There's no hope, they say. We'll walk after our own devices. We'll everyone do the imagination of our own evil heart. That's what the world says. Is there no hope? Go over to chapter 23. That's our brother spoke from. Chapter 23. Is there no hope in the midst of such an evil world? Verse 5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. That is, justify a people, a sinful people. In his days, Judah, we're in his days, you know. A.D. We live in A.D. Anno Domini, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's reigning and ruling it over everything. Aren't you glad? He came. The Lord said, he shall not fail. He'll prosper. And he did. He finished the work. That was his meat and drink to do. He finished the work. Daniel wrote of. Daniel prophesied of. He had to make an end of transgression. Finish it all. He did. What's his name? Our hope. Is there no hope? Yes. What's his name? Jehovah Sitkinu. John's smiling real big right now. The Lord our righteousness. In the midst of this sinful world, where are you going to find the righteous people? In Christ. In the ark. That's where they are. Then chapter 29. All right, let's go there and stay there. And, you know, God had men write this book, and then he had men translate it. And there's so much error that could happen. There's so much that could happen. But God had this English translator translate this. from the Hebrew. And then put it into chapters and verses just so you could find this thing. And I love how every now and then, quite often, it just amazes me where they just happen to put these things. All right, we all have the same Bible now, pretty much. I mean, a Cambridge Bible is exactly the same, all right? If you look, Jeremiah starts on page 942. It ends on page... Hold on, let me think. This is just so good. It's lovely. It ends, chapter 52, on page 1022. Okay, so it's 80 pages. And exactly page 40, page 982, is Jeremiah 29. Right smack in the middle. I mean exactly in the middle. It begins with just sin and everything, and it ends in terrible destruction and captivity and all that. And right in the middle is the gospel to God's people, right smack in the heart of this. Literally the middle page. We're going to look at Ecclesiastes, Lamentation, and right in the middle, I mean to the page, it says, I'm the man. I mean to the page, I don't need that. No, I don't need that. Look at Jeremiah 29, this is great. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue. That's us. We're the remnant. We're the residue. We're the offscouring. The ones that escaped the sword. They carried away captives, though. We're here. We live in this place. The priests, the prophets, people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away captive. We were once held captive by the God of this world. The world still is. We're not anymore. Mm-mm. Our Lord said, No, we're under the reign of our King, the Lord Jesus. So the world, so we're in this world. He reigns over us. And down in verse 5, by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, he was a bad king. Jeremiah lived under bad kings. Josiah was the only good king. Josiah is a picture of Christ. Josiah, I love Josiah. He's the one that they found the book. And he I love, that's another story. But he lived under bad kings. Zedekiah was one of them. That Nebuchadnezzar blinded him and had him captive. Boy, if that isn't our rulers today. Pawns in Satan's hand. But verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Our Lord prayed in John 17, don't take them out of this world, but keep them from it. He said, I send you into the world. God put us in this world, didn't he? We're not out. We feel we're held captive by it. No. Hold on. No, we're not. We got some hope here. He says in verse 5 to those that live here in this world captive, build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit of them, take wives in the Lord, beget sons and daughters, take wives for your son, give your daughters to husbands, and bear sons and daughters that you may be increased there and not diminished. In other words, the Lord gives us all things richly to enjoy. Hadn't he blessed us? He's over at someone's house just the other day, and it's just such a nice house, and I was just telling them what, and we were both marveling and thanking the Lord for what he's done for her, and hadn't he done good by us? Hadn't he done so much for her? Don't we? We live in the land of Goshen, really. We're in Egypt, like Israel, in captivity, but we live in the land of Goshen. You know, if you're going to Don't swear, but if you had to say anything, say that. Lands of Goshen. We live in the lands of Goshen. We really do. He says in verse 7, seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captive. Pray unto the Lord for it. Paul told Timothy, and he was under Nero. Paul was under Nero, who a little while later, he was a lion. He was just destroyed. He burned Rome. And they say played the fiddle while he was burned. Remember? Bad men. God did that. Every single bad ruler is God did it. Daniel said it, did in chapter 4. He said, the Most High ruleth over the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. Why? Sin. Forsaking God. Okay. If you won't have God as your king, I'll give you a king. That's the reason he raised up Saul. Okay. I'll give you a king. But not God's people. We have a king. We have a good king, like we read in chapter 23, son of David. Wouldn't you have liked to live in David's kingdom? We do. We all have our own vine and fig tree. It's Christ. But pray for the peace, and the peace thereof shall you have peace. Pray for the peace. Oh, God bless America. But I want him to bless it by bringing it down. Bringing the pride down and convicting people of their sin. And there's only one way God's going to really bless this country is if it is a revival, and it'll only come through preaching the gospel, the truth of who God is, what man really is, the true God, and the truth about man, and the truth about salvation. One way. Like Jeremiah. Jeremiah never strayed from this one message. But verse 8, now thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which he caused you to be dreamed. They prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. You know, I've talked to people over the years, and there's so many people hanging on to an old profession of faith. And under false preachers. God doesn't save anybody under false preachers. No, sir. No, he doesn't. And Jeremiah 23 is the whole chapter. There's so many other chapters about false prophets. All of Jeremiah. But chapter 23, the Lord says, I'm against them. God's not going to use a false prophet to save one of his people. He's against them. And he said in verse 32 of 23, they will not profit this people at all. So, and we're to try. 1 John 4, we're to try the Spirit. Many false prophets, our Lord said, have gone out in the world. And quite often what it is people heard a little bit of truth. And they finally the Lord brought them under a true preacher, and now they hear the truth and they believe the truth, and what it is you didn't know the Lord then, now you do. It's like being born again. You don't a child doesn't know when it is. He doesn't know when it happens. But eventually, one day, a child realized, I'm alive. You know. Well, look at this, verse 10. Thus saith the Lord, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon. Remember we read that in 2 Chronicles. I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. And he did. He did that for these four people, this residue. People that were left from the sword and escaped. He did that for them. Bless their hearts. Bless our Lord. He did that. The word came. And remember the old fellas, when they saw the walls going up, they were just weeping.
They were just all crying. Some of them were laughing, and nobody could tell the difference between the crying and the laughing because they were all so happy. The Lord actually did that for them. Ezra and all those true preachers, you know, there were so many false preachers, and the Lord raised up Ezra. And all, you remember all those names of all those preachers just preaching to them all day long? And they didn't get tired. John, they didn't get tired. Why? Because they hadn't heard good preaching in so long. Jeremiah is the only one around. He said, I'll visit you. But I think of this. This is like, you know, we may live 70 years. That's all the Lord's told us we may have. Maybe 80. 70 years. Right? Well, we're getting really close, aren't we? Some of you, way past that. He said, I'm going to visit you. I'm going to bring you to my place. I'm going to bring you home. Out of this mess. Out of this captivity. For verse 11. Man, this make you cry good tears. I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of peace. Not of evil. Give you an expected end. I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of peace. David said, thy thoughts toward me in Psalm 139. Remember, he said, thou, Lord, knowest me. You know my down city, my uprising. He said, there's not a thought, there's not a word I say, there's not a thought I think, there's not a sin I've sinned, there's not a thing I've ever done. You don't know me. You know everything about me. And what causes fear also causes comfort. You know me, and I still believe you love me. And he says, such thoughts. He said, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Thoughts of peace, he said. What God is telling them, I'm out to do you good. Whatever God's out to do, he does. He said, my thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace, not evil. Verse 11. Thoughts of peace, not evil. God has brought evil on this world. God's the one that does it. That's right. He sent evil spirits to delude King Ahab and others. Yes, he did. Read it. The world never read those things. This is the God who is God. And all this evil, who was it? The old minor prophet said, shall there be evil in the land? The Lord hadn't done it. You mean something can happen without him? No, it can't. And that gives us comfort, then. Because he said, no evil shall befall you, my people. Thoughts of peace. Why are we at peace with God? Well, somebody give me one word why we have peace with God. Somebody, anybody. That's what Brother Ron read in Ephesians 2. He is our peace. He hath made peace for us by the sacrifice of himself. God poured out his wrath and his anger on Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree. And if you're in him, there is no wrath, no anger, no judgment. No evil shall befall you. Peace. See the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. And that applies more to our Lord than anybody else. He made peace for us. Peace with God. Do you understand that? I know you do. You all said it. It was unanimous. Christ is our peace. You know how few people know that. Not many people say he made his peace with God. It's a false peace. That's what prophets, false prophets say, peace, peace. There is no peace. He says in verse 11, I'm going to give you an expected end. You know, that's what hope means. The word hope means expectation. If you trust in the Lord, you hope, you trust him, you believe he's going to do what he said he would do.
He'll never leave us or forsake us. He's given us eternal life. We'll never perish. And He's going to raise us up in the last day. He said He would. He that believeth on me, I'll raise him up to the last day. Brother, we just better believe in nobody else but Him. What do you believe? Him. And we'll raise him up. Everybody that just trusts in Him, the Lord said, and we'll raise him up. But what? Just stay right there. Trust in the Lord. I'm going to give you an expected end. And then, verse 12, you'll call on me, and you shall go and pray unto me. I will hearken unto you. You shall seek me and find me. And he's saying here, he's not saying if you do this. You notice it? He's not saying if you do this. He says you will. You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And it comes a time when God really does a work in us, and we really do seek Him with our whole heart. And we find Him. And His name is Jesus Christ. He said, I will be found of you. Like Philip. We found Him. Not until the Lord found Him first. Called Him. And the Lord says, I will turn away your captivity. Sin will not have dominion over you. You're not going to be held captive by the god of this world. A stronger than he has taken him, spoiled his goods. And now David recovered all the spoils. And I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places I've driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you. I will. Notice how I will, I will, I will. Can't wait to get to Ezekiel. Might deal with chapter 36. I will, I will, I will, I will. Maybe 37. What about 16? What about 34? The great shepherd. I will, I will, I will. I have driven you, and I'll bring you again. To the place I've carried you away captive. Isn't that good news? Right smack in the middle. There's the message in the middle of the mess. There's mercy in the midst of that misery. Right smack in the middle, in the heart of this, is the gospel. Isn't that good news? Okay, stand with me.